I hope you get a hold of it this morning. I hope it stirs your heart this morning. I hope it does something this morning. Brother L was preaching the other night, and I hadn't heard from Brother, not the, no disparaging thing, Brother Steve, but hadn't heard from Steve, and I know sometimes he gets caught up at work and things happen, and as L was preaching, I said, well, I need something for the men's group, and God took me to this passage of Scripture, and we spoke just a few minutes the other night in the men's group, and I was discussing this, and God just kept bringing my heart back to it. I told him, I said, it might be what I preach Sunday, and that's what I'm preaching Sunday. Turning your Bibles into Ezra chapter number 9. Ezra chapter number 9. I want you to know this morning, God wants you to have revival. God wants to stir your heart. God wants you to know Him like you've known Him before. God wants you to know Him like you did at your sweetest moment, at your most joyous time, at the gladdest point that you ever had in worshiping Him. And Ezra chapter 9 has a prescription written here in the prayer of the man of God that was there that tells us how we can have revival. Amen. Y'all done worried, ain't you? This isn't intended to be a mean message. This isn't intended to be a hurtful message. It's intended to be a truthful message. Amen. It's intended to be an encouraging message. Amen. And if Sunday school is any indication, amen, I think we're going to have a good time today. Amen. I think God's going to bless. If you found Ezra chapter 9, stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. In the book of Nehemiah, the Bible says that Nehemiah called for Ezra the priest and had him read the Word, and the people stood as they read the Word of God. In chapter number 9, verse number 5, the Bible says, "And at the evening sacrifice, I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garments and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, Oh my God, I'm ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to the captivity, to the spoil, and to the confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and may give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. If you draw your attention back to verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And now, for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Ezra has seen what is happening. Ezra realizes their state today, and he realizes that the only thing that is going to help God's people, the only thing that's going to make a difference, the only thing that's going to transform the hearts of the people is a reviving from on high from God. He acknowledges that they're in bondage. And friends, I know I've been set free from the bondage of sin, but I'm still in spiritual bondage to this world and in many ways. Amen. I'm in this world. They were set free. Israel had been taken into Babylonian bondage. And now the Persians have overtaken Babylon and have let God's people go back. But they're still subject unto the king. They were able to go back to Jerusalem. They were able to go back and build the temple. They were able to go back and set the walls up, but they were still subject unto the king of Persia. The Bible says that the devil is the prince and the power of the air, and as long as we're in this world, we're strangers and pilgrims passing through, but we are affected, we are confounded, and we are vexed daily because of the world in which we live, because as long as we're in the bondage of this world and in the bondage of this flesh, praise God, the devil is going to have his power and his will and his way in our lives in different aspects and in different ways. Can I get an amen? It's the truth. Amen. But we need some reviving. Amen. Why do we need reviving? Because the word reviving reminds us that something has decayed. Something has deteriorated. Something has died. And we need reviving. I don't know how many seen on the news this week or seen the thing on Facebook or got an email about it, but a man died this week and he was pronounced dead and had been pronounced dead for 45 minutes by the paramedics, and his boy, his little boy, prayed over him, and praise God, the news report said that the man came back to life. Now that's some reviving, amen, and that's what God can do. He can bring dead Christians back to life. Amen. He can bring dead spirits back to life. He can bring dead hopes back to life. And friends, you aren't immune from needing revival. And I hope revival starts in your heart this morning so that as the men of God come and as they preach to us this week, they don't have to preach the sin out of our lives, but they can preach the messages of revival that stirs us and builds a fire that the devil can't quench and the world can't control. Amen. David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. A man that walked close to God, a man that depended on God. But in Psalm 85 and verse 6, a very familiar verse, in time of revival it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" You see, there's been times in David's life when he's needed revival. Amen. And he sought the Lord, and the Lord has given him revival. He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Praise God. I'm glad for the last revival that I had, but I'm looking forward to this one. And I know this morning that I need revival, and I know this church needs revival. Amen. "Wilt thou not revive us again?" In Psalm 138 and verse 7, David said, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble," and I don't know who in this church today doesn't walk in a world that's filled with trouble, but praise God, it's on every hand, it's abounding everywhere, and every family is facing it and dealing with it in one way or another, and somehow, in some respect, in some form, and David says, "Thou wilt revive me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." Friends, God wants to give revival to his people. And he wants you to have revival this morning. But before we will ever have revival, we got to realize that we are in bondage. "And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in this holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. We think about bondage and automatically our minds go to the drunkard and to the drug addict and to the sex pervert. And we think about these people, how they're addicted and how they're drawn in and how they're in bondage to these things. But there's a lot of folks in our churches today that have no hope and they're in bondage. They have no joy and they're in bondage. They have no peace. They're in bondage. They have no assurance. They're in bondage. They have no faith. They're in bondage. They see no self-worth. And you're in bondage because the devil wants to keep you that way. If he can rob you of your hope, your joy, your peace, your assurance, your faith and your self-worth, then praise God, he's got you where he wants you. He's got you in bondage. And he can take you anywhere he wants to take you. But Ezra realized as he heard what had happened, the people came, the priests came, and the leaders came and said the people have polluted themselves with the people that God said for us to stay away from. You know what's wrong in our church this morning? We're polluted. Amen. We're polluted. The stench of the world is reeking in our church. Amen or ouch? Amen or ouch? Why did Ezra have a heavy heart? And verse 5 said, at the evening sacrifice I rose from my heaviness, and having rent my garments, pulled his hair out of his head, pulled the beard out of his face, ripped his garments, his heart was broken because he had heard what was going on, because he had seen what had happened. Look back in verse number 1. It says, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Ammonites. Praise God. His people were acting just like everybody else. His people were doing just like everybody else was doing. And God's house was laying desolate. And God's city was laying desolate. And God's people were out of whoring with the world and bringing that pollution back into the house of God as they tried to rebuild it. And it broke the man of God's heart. How do you think God feels when he looks at his people? Whom he died for. When he looks at his people, whom he gave his soul for, and says, their hope is gone because they put their hopes in the things of the world. They're hoping in their money. They're hoping in their acquaintances and their relationships and who they're hobnobbing with. They're thinking about the things that the world can do. And they've set their hope in wrong things. He looks and he says, there's no joy in my people. There's no joy in the church because the people have brought the things of the world into the church. And now instead of joy, there's sorrow. Now instead of joy, there's a feeling of abandonment. There's no peace. Because they dread what is going to be preached and what is going to be said when they come into the house of God, because they have polluted themselves with the things of the world. He says there's no assurance because they're worrying about everything, because they've quit trusting God and quit depending on Him. But let me tell you something this morning. If you realize that you're in bondage and you realize where your help comes from, you can find out that He gives us hope in the salvation that He's promised us in Jesus Christ. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us perfect peace, not like the world gives, but the peace that only God can give us in our hearts. He gives the earnest of His Spirit that we might have the assurance of eternal salvation. He gives us faith to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He gives us faith that we can increase to serve Him where wherever He may send us and whatever He may have us to do. He gives us a self-worth that the world can't give you. You can go to the greatest plastic surgeon. You can go to the greatest designers and have the greatest clothes. You can go to the greatest makeup artists there are in this world. And you'll never find a worth like you can have in Jesus Christ. Amen. He makes us an heir and a joint heir with Him in the family of God. He gives us a new name written down in the blood of the Lamb, I do believe, and sealed unto the day of redemption. He gives us a new hope that is in the family of an eternal God. He gives us a new life that's different from the life that we had before. He said we were whoremongers and we went a-whoring after the things of the world. But praise God, one day He found us, and one day He bought us, and one day He paid a great price for us, and He took us unto Himself, and He loved us like we had never been loved. And He gave us a name above every name, because the name that we share is the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm a Christian. Amen. And the name of Jesus, the name of Christ, is a name above every name. I have a worth now that entitles me to the riches of glory. I have a name now that has given me an inheritance, uncorruptible, an inheritance that fadeth not away, an inheritance that's been reserved for me in the glory world. And praise God, I need to remember that as long as I'm in this world, I'm under the bondage of this world. I'm under the restrictions and the constraints and the fickleness of the flesh. Oh, but praise God, in Him I have a reviving, and I can be revived in Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know why we miss out on reviving? Because we don't remember, and we don't remind ourselves that we're actually in bondage. The allurements of the world that keep us from our God keep us in bondage. Amen? But look at what Ezra says. Look what Ezra says. Verse number 9. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. You know what? You want revival in your life. You want revival in your heart. Don't worry about the church. You get revival settled in your life. Revival will break out in the church. Amen. You get revival settled today in your personal being and your personal life. We'll see revival break out in this church like we've never seen revival. First, you need to realize that you are in bondage as long as you're in this world, and you always stand in need of some reviving from God. Wilt thou not revive us again? Amen. Hey, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. God wants to give you revival. But you know what? When God's people were in bondage, He listened and He waited to hear for their cry. The Bible says over in Exodus chapter number 2, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You know what God wants? He wants to hear you cry. He wants to hear you cry from a broken heart that's in bondage. He wants you to hear you cry. Not just get up and speak some little mamby-namby prayer that we have all rehearsed and that we recite all the time. But God wants us to cry unto Him from the depths of our heart in the midst of our despair and realizing that we're in bondage, and He hears. Amen. Ezra said, our God hath not forsaken us. He heard their cry. He's heard His people's cry throughout the course of the Bible. When God's people cried unto Him, they found revival. Amen. When God's people acknowledged Him, they found revival. Abraham found revival when he didn't know how God was going to do what God said He was going to do. But when God told him what He was going to do and how He was going to do it, and God fulfilled it, Abraham found revival. Amen. Oh, Joshua, standing and crying because of Ai and what had happened. God heard the cry. Amen. You know the story. They went into the promised land. They defeated Jericho. The city was destroyed. God had instructed them. And somebody had sinned. And that sin in the camp brought the wrath of God. It's still the same today. Amen. You know why our church don't have a lot of revival? It's because sin go in the camp. Amen. We let sin go in our personal lives. Amen. Well, some of y'all, I done tick some of y'all because I've done hit on a sore subject. Amen. Some of you need to start making your way to the altar right now and start dealing with some sin that you know is in your life, that you know needs to be dealt with. You say, oh, well, what about him? Don't worry about him. Worry about you. Amen. Joshua was praying to God. God said, get up off of your face. Why stand you here? You need to deal with the sin. And when they dealt with the sin, praise God, they had revival. Amen. Amen. I tell you, God's people won't find revival until they cry out to God and until they deal with the sin. Look, David cried time and time again, hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer from the ends of the earth. Will I cry unto thee? And I got to lower that. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is high. You know what David wanted? He wanted revival. Amen. He was in a midst of a problem and he cried unto the Lord and he cried from a heart of contrition. He cried from a heart of desperation. He cried from a heart that needed what only God could give, and only God could give what David needed, and David knew it. And when God heard David's cry, I believe he answered David's prayers time and again. We see David cry unto the Lord. How about blind Bartimaeus? I sat by the way to Jericho, and as he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shut up, Bartimaeus. God don't want to hear from an old blind man. But praise God, Joe, Bartimaeus cried even the more. Don't stop crying. God will answer your prayers. Amen. God will hear your cry, and God will meet your need according to His will and according to His way. Amen. Don't stop crying. God's still listening. How about the 10 lepers that cried unto Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. He heard their cry. How about the disciples, men who walked close to God, men who were in the boat with Him. When the storm arose, they said, Master, careth not that we perish. God heard their cry and got up and said, peace be still. And He rebuked the wind. Praise God, you want revival in your life. You call out to God from a heart of earnestness. You call out to God from a heart of desperation. You call out to God from a heart that knows there is no one else and no way else that you're going to have revival. And praise God, you'll find out that God hasn't forsaken you. It was you who had forsaken Him. Amen. And He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to meet your need. Amen. Realize this morning, every one of us here, every one of us in this church this morning, from me to Brother Ernie sitting all the way against the back wall there, every one of us are in a world that wants to keep us in bondage. But God hears our prayer. God hears our cry. Amen. And if we will cry unto Him from an earnest heart. Isaiah, God says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." He wants to hear you cry from a sincere heart. He that inhabiteth eternity. He who spoke the world into existence. He whose throne is in heaven and the world is just His footstool. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And look at what He says. With him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one, to remind ourselves that we're in bondage, to remind ourselves that God hears our cry when we cry, but He wants to hear it from a sincere heart. And trust Him. And trust Him. How many believe God can send revival to your life? Amen. Amen. I believe He can. I don't just believe He can, I know He can. Amen. I don't just believe it, know it, I've seen it. Amen. I have been revived. I have been stirred. I have been brought back from the verge of death and decay in my spiritual life. I have seen what God can do. I look at what He says in verse number 9, the last part. And He says, "But hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Jerusalem, or in Judea and in Jerusalem." Praise God. He sends a reviving. He brings back what was dead to life again. He brings back what was decaying unto life and vibrancy again. He brings back what had deteriorated, that which is faded away, that which the world has stole, that which the devil in his persecution and his prosecution and his bondage of us in the flesh, in this world, has tried to rob from us and exact from us and steal from us. He's brought reviving back again and to set up the house of God. Praise God. He will fix that what's broken. I don't know what's broken in your life this morning, but if you trust God, let me tell you something. He'll fix it. Amen. He'll make it right. He'll make it new. He'll restore it to where it once was and repair the desolations that has been scattered. Praise God. He restores that has been scattered. He brings back again. The walls were broken down and scattered. But praise God. They were trusting God to build them up again and to restore them. You know what God will do to you? God will say, "Amen, little sister. Amen. Amen." That's the way they teach you. That's where they start. Amen. Do you see that little hand? Amen. I was preaching, that little hand went up and said, "Amen." She looked right at me and said, "Amen." Amen. I tell you what, I missed that in the house of God. Amen. I missed that. Amen. He said He will restore that which was scattered. He said He gives us a wall. He instills peace and confidence. Jesus said, "The thief breaks through for to steal and to destroy." He said, "But I've come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly." Praise God, you want revival. You want restoration. You want life again in your spiritual life. Trust God. He wants to give it to you. He wants to bring revival. But He wants you to get real about it. He wants you to get serious about it. He wants you to put Him first. We got to quit putting everything else in this world. We got to quit putting ourselves first. We put our own plate. "Well, I'd rather go here on Sunday than go to church." Hey, man, it's the Lord's Day. Remember the Lord's Day to keep it holy. Amen. It's not your day. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. How many of you have a day named after you? How many of you have a day that's set up in honor of you? That you're even supposed to honor yourself on that day? I didn't think so. Remember the Lord's Day to keep it holy. Remember the Lord's Day to make Him first. Remember Him the most on that day. Remember He's most important on that day. No matter what's going on in your life, there's nothing more important than Jesus. Whatever's going on in your life, there's nothing more important than being in the house of God. Whatever's happening, don't let the world rob you. Don't let the world steal from you what God wants to. He wants to give you peace. He wants to instill in you confidence. He wants to instill in you hope. You're not going to find that in the world. Amen. But if you're sincere and you're earnest, God wants to bring a reviving to your heart. God wants to bring restoration and joy to your life. But it's up to you. It's up to you. When Ezra and the people realized how they had let sin creep into their lives a little bit at a time, and the priest and the Levites and the rulers and their leaders and the people had intermingled with the world, they chose to make things right. They made a decision to cut things off. Let me tell you how serious they got. They came to the man of God. And they said, listen, we've taken wives and we have children by wives of these heathen people. Listen to me. Look up here. I want everybody to look at me right now. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Make eye contact with me. He told every one of them that was polluted that they needed to put away the wives and put away the children. Amen? You know what you need to do this morning? You need to put away the wives and the children. Amen? You need to put away the things of the world that are keeping you away from God. You can talk about being a Christian. You can act like a Christian. But God said He looks at your heart. And if the world's more important to you than Him, don't come bragging about being a Christian until you can look at Him in the eyes and say, Lord, I've forsaken everything to follow You. Lord, I'm trusting You. Lord, I'm willing to put everything away. You know what? And Brother Adam can tell you, I've talked with a few men. You know, sometimes I wonder at this farm. Brother Adam can tell you, I've talked to him in earnest about it. Serious about it. Sometimes whether it's hindering me from, and I keep convincing myself that once I retire, it's going to get, things are going to slack up. You know, God made it possible, and I know it was only God that made it possible. But let me tell you this. God gave Abraham a son. And God told Abraham to take his son to Mount Moriah and to offer him there as a sacrifice, a burnt offering. There was no doubt about what God wanted. And Abraham went without hesitation. And if God tells me that I need to give up my farm, and y'all know how much I love my farm, it's gone. It's out of here. God tells me to give up something because it's interfering with Him. It needs to leave. He wants to know that we're real. He wants to know that we're serious. He wants to know that we really care. And when they cried by reason of their bondage, God heard their prayers. What Satan got you bound by today? He gives us so much. We say, well, the Lord give us this, the Lord give us that. You know, a lot of times the Lord didn't give it to you, the devil did.
Right.
The devil knew that he let you have it, it would keep you away from God. If he let you have it, it would be a stumbling block. If he let you have it, it would be a hindrance. But the people, look at me again. Everybody look right here. Look at me in the eyes. But the people all said, we're going to put away. We're all going to put away the strange wives and their children. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song.